Brady retreats in the pocket, steps up to the end zone. The throw will be intercepted. The flag is thrown. Gronkowski, perhaps interfered with. There will not be another play based on the reaction of the Panthers.
No, there was no explanation given to me.
I'm not sure what happened or what they're even calling.
No. Officials ran off the field and I didn't see anything.
They took the call back and can't do anything about it.
Been through that before. Last time I tried to ask an official a question about a call, that was, you know, the wrong thing to do. So
that wasn't surprising that they would call something and pick it up tonight the way they were calling things. So I'm not sure what happened.
No final thoughts. My mom thought it was a penalty. Does that count?
Well, guys, good news. The NFL changed its rules for pass interference just in time for the Broncos coming to town.
Assaults for everyone.
On the house.
Just pick it off. No pass interference on an interception.
Apparently, if you're more than a yard away from the ball, it's uncatchable.
Right. Even if you're 6'6 and have arms that go from here to that wall over there.
I mean, obviously, that is the talk of the game, how the game ended. There's a lot more to it. Overall, I think it was a really good football game.
It was a good football game, and I actually take positives out of it for the Patriots and Carolina, obviously. But we talked about the offense-defense matchup, and Carolina was looking for respect. And you know, a lot of people, including Paul, questioned the schedule they had played. I thought they sort of performed and were ready for a fight. But from a Patriots perspective, they moved up and down the field. Every drive, they had, I think, eight or more snaps on every drive they had all night. They only had seven. They had mistakes, yes. They couldn't punch it in and things of that nature. But against what is the best defense the NFL basically has to offer this year, you moved the ball and your weapons were back.
You can't get beyond the call. I mean, the call is enormous. I mean, it's pass
nuts
interference.
And bolts, they got screwed.
And they saw it, and they threw the flag. And the unfortunate part is they didn't deem it important enough to explain it to us on the field.
I've never seen the uncatchable ball be called when the ball's in front of the intended receiver. I mean, you can make the case that Gronk couldn't have caught the ball. Like, you know, even if he dove.
Because there was a guy hugging him and wouldn't let him.
Well, yeah, I mean.
See, I would actually make the case. I agree with you, Fred.
But that's not up for the ref to make that case.
Right, totally. Right.
And I think if you look at the replay, in my opinion, all three players are within a yard. They're almost like what we are, within a yard of each other. Kuechly grabs Gronkowski, and Lester, from that spot, goes up to make the play.
Right.
Well, why couldn't Gronkowski have done that had he been afforded that opportunity?
Unfettered.
Right. Instead, there was a guy hanging on him that wouldn't allow him to do that.
I think it's ludicrous to suggest that there's no pass interference because it was uncatchable. The ball was too close to the intended receiver for it to have been uncatchable. Right. However, I do agree with you, Fred. I think Gronkowski is going the opposite direction. Lester was going toward the ball. Gronkowski was going away from it.
I mean,
but still, it's pass interference any way you look at it.
Well, the bigger issue
is the compounding the mistake by just heading for the hills and getting the hell out of town. I'm not going to explain anything. I'm just going to run down the tunnel. Maybe we'll get our story straight in the locker room and we'll be ready for the full report.
Even the story that they came out with after
ridiculous.
The game was like, you know, somebody who had a few too many trying to explain it.
I liked when he said, did you end
in
up
essence.
Getting the call right? Yes, I think.
Well, what do you do if you're the Patriots? Do you push the envelope and with the refs knowing that this is on the Patriots' mind, it's on the media's mind, we're going to be under a microscope. Are we lax on the Patriots when it comes to coverage in this game coming up?
Well, we had already talked about this year, before this call, it seemed like they were letting people get away with more. Remember Darius Butler for the Colts against Welker? He was draped on Welker every single play, grabbing him, clutching him. It has seemed in general that they've been a little looser in that area this year, but I think it might go the other way. There's a difference between the final play of the game, and I know that maybe it shouldn't be this way, but I do think they treat things differently on the final play in the end zone with the game on the line, no time on the clock. They don't want to decide a game with a flag. They want it to be decided on the field. I don't think they're going to allow the same things in the middle of the field early in the game, and they might basically throw flags early to say, we're not going to allow that crap to happen. So I'd be careful if I were the
How much do you think Vereen was a key to being able to handle the Carolina defense?
Yeah, look at the third down catches.
Right.
It's something we've talked about, and the Patriots went 4-for-8 on this game. Andy's right. That was probably a 1 or 2 for 12 game, a month and a half ago. But I think you have Vereen out there to move the chains, and that allows you to sort of spread the ball around. And by the way, they ran the ball not for great production, but they ran the ball well enough that some of those play-action plays opened up. And I thought that the two slants to Tompkins were both as a result of being able to run the ball and get those linebackers biting in to open up that big gap. And listen, this is, you know, a lot of people talk about the front four that Carolina has. And Andy and I had got into this big on the pregame social. And this is why he took that shot at me about Carolina. They proved it to me. It's a Tampa 2 defense. And Tom Brady traditionally tears those apart, and he did. As long as now this is a front four that's much better than a lot of those Tampa 2 defenses he's seen in the past.
Right.
So that was the key. The offensive line gave him enough time, and Tom did the rest.
Well, we can't go without talking about Stephen Ridley. What do you do? I mean, this is yet another fumble that cost the Patriots points. They were down there. It would have been at least 3 points had he not fumbled. And as we see, those would have been key to this game. What do you do if you're Bill Belichick? I know he brought him in late in the game, but is this a guy that, you know, you can rely on going forward?
I think it's that famous TV show used to say, you take the good, you take the bad. The facts of life. He's their best running back. There
no
is
doubt.
No doubt.
He never saw the facts
their,
of life.
Oh, yeah,
like
reruns.
Two.
Reruns.
He's their best running back, and that's the frustrating thing, is you want him on the field. Even though Blunt actually had better production against Carolina, Ridley is your lead back. He, in traditional sets, he is your best runner. Unfortunately, 2 weeks in a row, he's lost 3 fumbles all year. He's putting the ball on the ground. This was a soft one, too.
Yeah, it was.
There was no, you know, Troy Polamalu just made a play and that happens. This was a soft
he
one.
He allowed the guy to come in.
I think you
space.
Need him. I don't think you can afford to just tell him to go away. You know, I got some tweets during the game right after the fumble. You think Ridley will clear waivers? You know, that's Patriots fans were that emotional and wanted to cut him. I don't think Bill and the coaches can do that.
It's really a good news, bad news situation right now with the Patriots. Offensively, it's really good, and you're starting to see why Tom Brady was so excited to get all these guys back. Gronkowski, Amendola, Shane Vereen. You're seeing third down conversions. You're seeing Tom spread the ball around, and you're seeing the running game really augment the passing game. We know what can happen with this offense. It could score a lot of points, but at some point you get a game like Monday night where you only score 20. Can your defense hold up? And I think currently with Aqib Talib's problems physically and that secondary really being banged up, I see situations like we have recently in the playoffs, and it's not good. I'm not sure the defense is going to be healthy enough to put up with that offense. Now, I touched on the injuries a little bit in the secondary. To me, Talib is the biggest one right there. I thought the Patriots did a really good thing letting him rest, but unfortunately, that hip is still not right, and I think it's something he's going to deal with the rest of the season. Kyle Arrington's been dealing with a groin problem. Alphonso Dennard missed the Carolina game with a knee injury. That's going to put a lot of pressure on some young, inexperienced players. You have Daron Harmon out there starting for Steve Gregory as well. Logan Ryan playing a big role. Tavon Wilson, not really even a part of the defense, just in the second year. Nate Ebner, more of a special teams guy. Marquise Cole, another special teamer. A lot of pressure on these young, inexperienced players. They're going to have to fill the void because right now, the Patriots are really banged up. Now, the situation up front on defense has been much better. I think run defense specifically has improved. And I think that's Isaac Sofoaga in the middle of that 3-4 defense. It certainly seems that Belichick has found the run fits that he likes best playing with that three-man front. You give Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones a lot of credit. Did a really nice job against the Panthers setting the edge. It really wasn't very good after Vince Wilfork went down stopping the run. They really had a lot of trouble virtually in every game. But against Carolina, it was much better. And I think the 3-4 look is a big part of that.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Can you ever go wrong with a burger?
You look at me. You think I ever go wrong?
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week, and boy, there's one thing I can't get out of my mind, and that's this play right here. And that image resulted in this image, the refs getting together and picking up the flag. And finally, here's Tom Brady voicing his displeasure about the whole incident.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman had to feel good to have all of these guys back on offense. This offense starting to look a little bit like it has in the past.
You know, anytime you get some of your, you know, better players back, it's always good. But as you know, regardless, you just got to keep on playing because it's part of the game.
We talk a lot about, you get Gronkowski back, it opens up space for other guys. Do you actually see that when you're out there? Does he create space for you?
I mean, he's one of the best tight ends out in the league, so of course he's going to, you know, create space along with, you know, guys like Danny and AD, Vereen. You know, when you have a bunch of guys out there, it's just going to leave more openings for everyone else.
Punt returns is something that you excel in. You're one of the best in the league statistically and otherwise. What is the toughest thing about returning a punt?
Obviously the elements are part of what makes it tough. If it's a windy day, gusty day, when you have some gunners that are good. But we got good matchups every week because we prepare very hard. We got good guys out there, and everyone's excited, and they're very attentive what they have to do to make the play successful. So, you know, we haven't had that many opportunities the last couple weeks. Hopefully, you know, we get some more this week. But we ultimately just got to be prepared for any opportunity to hopefully take advantage of the opportunity.
We've joked around with you in the past, your good friends at PFW, about your affinity for the hamburger. And you're always looking for a special one. And in RFL Sullivan's, I know we both really enjoy. Why this fixation on hamburgers? I know you tweet about it from time to time, too.
Can you ever go wrong with a burger?
Look at me. Do you think I ever go wrong with a burger?
I mean, look at me. I can never go wrong with a burger. I don't know. It's an American classic. A nice piece of meat on good bread. And, you know, sometimes they special it up. It's always good.
As we turn our attention to the Denver Broncos and the matchups in this game on Sunday night, obviously the big key is Broncos' weapons in the passing game, Patriots' ability to stop those weapons. Denver potentially brings three guys with 9 or more touchdowns to the field. And, oh, by the way, Eric Decker, not in that group, has 54 catches. Manning has plenty to work with, but they're banged up. Welker may have concussion issues. Julius Thomas, his tight end, who has 10 touchdowns, is banged up day-to-day with a knee injury. On the other side of the football, will Tlaib play? If he plays, how limited will he be? If he's limited, can he match up with Demaryius Thomas? What do you do in the slot with Welker if he's on the field? Kyle Arrington has a groin issue. There are matchup problems all across the secondary. Which team plays better, banged up, and makes more plays in the passing game? Patriots pass defense, Broncos pass offense, probably the key to this game. As always, each week we tend to look at the turnover differential. And surprisingly, Denver Broncos don't measure up all that well. -2 on the season, lots of turnovers, 19 giveaways, 13 of them fumbles, 6 of them fumbles by Peyton Manning. Monty Ball's put the ball on the ground a couple times. Patriots take care of the football normally. They lost the turnover battle last week, and that's one of the reasons they lost in Carolina. Take care of the football against Denver, and Denver may give you some extra chances. As good as Peyton Manning and the Broncos' passing attack is on offense, Denver's secondary, bit questionable. They've allowed an 83 combined passer rating by the opposition. They are 28th in defense in terms of the passing game. The Patriots have room to work if they take care of the football and protect Tom Brady. Those are the two things Denver does defensively against the passing game. Von Miller is back after that early suspension. He can get after the quarterback a little bit, and they have 13 interceptions. Stay away from the turnover, stay away from the sacks, and Brady should have plenty of room to work with in the back end of the Broncos defense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
He didn't do anything as well Monday night as he did jarring with Steve Smith, I'll say that.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
You know, the NFL could be a real mean and nasty place. I'm not talking about the field. I'm not even talking about the locker room. I'm talking about behind closed doors. particularly when things aren't going well. And that was the case with the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier this season. You know, there's never been any love lost between Todd Haley, their offensive coordinator, and Ben Roethlisberger. But when things started going south, there were all these rumors about how Ben wants to be traded, how Ben isn't exactly Peyton Manning off the field. I wonder where this stuff came from. I don't know, but it really points back to people on that team and maybe Todd Haley.
I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a peek behind the PFW curtain. Every week we come in here, and Andy and I, we talk about what we might want to discuss on this Around the NFL segment, and Fred always has a crack to me. He says, well, Paul, I'm sure you're going to bash the officials this week. Well, you know what, Fred? You're starting to see why I bash the officials every week. And everybody was all over that call that really cost the San Francisco 49ers in New Orleans. And you know what? I'm going to surprise everybody. I didn't have a huge problem with it. I thought Ahmad Brooks made a good play initially, hitting Breeze across the chest, but then he rips his arm up to the head and ripped him down. It's one of those things, you know, we like to joke. Unnecessary roughness. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it. And that was unnecessary roughness.
Did you hear the one about the offensive lineman who's complaining about how he's being treated verbally? No. This is not another Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin commentary. This time it's Trent Williams, tackle for the Redskins, and he's actually complaining about what an umpire said to him. That umpire, Roy Ellison, apparently said he was a garbage-ass, disrespectful bleep. I have issue with this. Trent Williams, you're a big boy. It's the NFL. We know they're swearing all the time. Do you think that Logan Mankins would ever complain that an official said something mean to him? The bottom line here is, I have some advice for you, Trent Williams. And I don't mean to sound like Jeff Ireland, but suck it up, be a professional, and be a tough guy. Sticks and stones and defensive ends might hurt you, but an umpire's words, they never will.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Aqib Talib definitely brings a presence to that secondary. But did he take it a little bit too far on Monday night?
Take it too far? Football is a physical, emotional game. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, I loved what I saw from Aqib Talib. I think that trickles down to an entire defense. It gives them confidence, swagger. That's what I want from my defense and my best player in the secondary.
This is a tricky one for me because I do think that you need that swagger. I like the presence that he brings, but he did take it too far Monday night. You have to, I mean, come on. You can't be getting penalties to put your team in peril. You can't do the kinds of things that he did with Steve Smith. You got to sort of know.
Just his fault, right? Steve Smith didn't play a role in that.
Well, I didn't see Steve Smith grab Talib's leg
and not let him go.
He was chirping.
And he jumped up with his foot. He was stomping on him.
And that's why, to me, it's a fine line. To me, if you want to talk and do all that stuff, if you can continue to maintain your focus and play while you're talking, fine. He did not maintain his focus. He got beat badly by Steve Smith in some key spots, and physically he let it bother him, and then he got penalties.
So he got beat because he was worrying about jawing, and he didn't get beat by a 13-year veteran.
He didn't do anything as well Monday night as he did jawing with Steve Smith.
That has nothing to do with the hip. He might not be battling that hip injury.
Well,
let's not pretend that everything that went bad was because he jawed.
As a quarterback,
you need to be confident. You need to be cocky. I love what he brings to this secondary. My concern is nothing to do with that. My concern is just he's not going to be healthy for the remainder of the season to be able to bring that swagger into the competitive balance.
There's no question. That's the biggest concern. I mean, this other stuff to me can be corrected, but if he's not physically right,
what's to correct?
You're correct.
I'm with Bill Belichick.
When he made a game-changing play at the end of a game against Atlanta. Yes, he did. He took him out of the game
because he was hurt.
No, he didn't take him out of the game because he was hurt. He took him out of the game in the first quarter to tell him to shut his yap and play football.
He just was trying to defuse the situation to make sure his guy didn't get thrown out.
Exactly. So Bill Belichick had a problem with it.
He had no problem with it.
Yes, he did.
Well, then he wasn't being honest in the post-game press conference. It was just two guys going at it.
No, his actions speak much louder than anything he's ever said.
So he's throwing a little water, but he wants that fire to exist. He knows that fire is good for his secondary.
The fire that we saw earlier in the year when he was locking down receivers, he makes a game-changing play against Atlanta, and he swaggers his way off the field. That's fine. He didn't go over and do anything to the Atlanta guy. He didn't grab Tony Gonzalez by the leg.
Let me see if I can get a
15-yard penalty.
He made a play, and then he talked about it.
I have no problem
with
that.
He was in Jimmy Graham's mug the same way.
Running into the backfield to yell at Cam Newton after the first play of the game,
Talib was the same guy. The difference is Jimmy Graham is the one who melted and wilted. This time he did it against a guy who has a Napoleon complex and went ballistic like he always does.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, it's that part of the show where we answer your questions at AskPFW@Patriots.com. But first, as always, we go to the Wilson Hart Power Index.
So it's that part of the show where I wow you.
Big shakeups, I imagine, this week. Undefeated teams
losing.
You
don't do anything because this is all stats-based.
Yes, but I created the formula which creates this index.
You created it?
I did, thank you.
Okay.
No, just move on from
all
the
right,
rumors.
All right.
The top five actually stayed the same with one slight change. Kansas City drops from 3 to 4, and the Panthers, after the victory over the Patriots, jumped up to number 3. We still have Seattle number 1, New Orleans number 2, and the Patriots stay at 5. 49ers 6, Broncos 7. A lot of consistency in the top of the index.
Did the Broncos move? Just out of curiosity.
No, the Broncos are the same.
Do you have a problem?
Wins over unbeaten teams don't carry as much weight as they used to. Yeah, I have a problem.
Yeah, you have a problem. You're an idiot. At the bottom, the Jacksonville Jaguars, bottom.
I'm an idiot.
But the New York Jets.
They're 9-1, they're ranked 7th.
The New York Jets, who I got a lot of crap from Jets fans last week, they were way, way too low. And what did they do? They went out and proved that they belong near the bottom of the rankings, got their butts beat. They now reside in number 30 in the index.
The 30th ranked team would make the playoffs.
All of a sudden, I love the Wilson Hart Power Index. All right, let's get to the questions that you sent to AskPFW@Patriots.com. Mo Smith writes in. He wants to know, do you think Chandler Jones is being underrated? He now has a team-high 9.5 sacks.
Well, first, yes, I thought it was pass interference. Oh, wait a minute. Chandler Jones, he might be a little underrated, a little under the radar. I'm not sure that he's necessarily thought of as one of those premier pass rushers, but if you look at the numbers, he's up there. I don't necessarily view him like some of the, I don't look at him the way J.J. Watt, for example, last season was dominating, the way we've seen JPP do a little bit in the past, but his production is there. I think he's really on track. We talked a lot about that year two jump. I think we've seen improvement. We've seen consistency, and by the way, better health. He's been out there every game. He hasn't missed any time, so I think that he is trending upward. I think he is definitely a big part of this defense going forward. Whether he's overrated, underrated, or rated just right, I'll let other people decide that. But to me, he's a big part of the
defense. I think what doesn't get him that national star treatment is a lot of his sacks are coverage sacks.
He's admitted that.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of him just blowing away his guy and getting to the quarterback.
We also have seen when he gets there, sometimes he's playing defensive tackle, sometimes it's a stunt. I think if he had more of the just line up, right defensive end, off the edge, hit the quarterback, now you start to get mentioned with some of those elite guys. So I think he deserves to be second tier, but I do think he's trending in that direction being a first tier type guy.
All right, well, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW@Patriots.com.